Hallelujah. Hosea 4:6. Glory to God. Let's get right to it, right? Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. Glory to God. Is everybody there? Hosea 4:6. You know, sometimes we've got to hear things over. Can everybody hear me?
No.
We'll move up. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise God. There's a seat right up here. A couple seats right up here. Come on up here, Sonny. Hallelujah. God is good all the time, right? The devil would like to tell you he's only good sometime when you get what you want. He likes to tell you that God's holding things back from you so you can breach love. Amen. We're not going to talk about the love of God tonight. But we're going to get to it. Some of the times we need to have some things and more understanding. So we need to repeat certain things. So some of these things that you're hearing right now, is sometimes some of it's sounding like a repeat. But we're looking at it in different areas, in different perspectives. Hosea 4:6, would you read it with me? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Knowledge means what?
Truth.
It's truth that sets people free, right? Because you have rejected my truth or knowledge, I also reject you from being priests to me. That's someone who's close to the Lord, isn't it? Amen? Now, it's not that God is truly rejecting you. Does everybody understand it? It's that the devil is in between you and God. Because you're rejecting his truth. When you reject God's truth, the devil gets between you and God. That's why you can't get close to him. Amen? Hallelujah. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also forget your children. Now, when we're not walking right with God, our children are not protected, are they? Does it mean that God is really rejecting your children? He says he desires no one to be lost. Doesn't he? Okay? So what's really happening is we're allowing the devil to get between our children and God. Does everybody understand it? Because we're accountable, aren't we? So we see here that even this has come down the family line, hasn't it? Because our parents didn't do the right things before God, we were rejected. Or what's happened is an inherited curse came down the line, right? And because their parents weren't correct, a curse came down the line. And it caused separation between ourselves and God. So you and I had to go through hell on earth sometimes to finally get to a place where we realized that we needed to have God. Now, we might have realized that we needed to have God, but we never came to a place where we said, I'm willing to do whatever it takes. Amen? And when we come to that place where we're willing to do whatever it takes, God tests us, not to gain anything, but so that you and I can see the things that are still hindering us. He allows us to go through testing because he wants us to see our own heart. Now, our heart is the character of our spirit, isn't it? Your heart represents your spirit. Is everybody with me? Okay, so certain things, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, aren't they? So sometimes we need to remind ourselves, don't we? God puts us in a family so that we can all remind each other. We can assist one another. In fact, if you look at the full armor of God is all protected except for the back, isn't it? Because you know what? We're to be our brother's keeper. We're to watch our brother's back, aren't we? Okay, would you turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? Oh, hallelujah. First Thessalonians chapter 5. Praise God. In verse 23. Would you read it with me? Now may the God of peace... peace himself sanctify you completely. In other words, separate you unto him. Sanctify you, clean you, purify you. Separate you from the things of the world. And establish himself in you. Completely. Well, he's talking about something when he says completely, he's talking about you as an individual. Completely sanctify you. And he's going to share with you what areas he wants to be completely sanctified. He says, and may your what? Whole spirit, soul, and body. So what he's trying to do is completely preserve, completely sanctify your spirit, your soul, and your body. To be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. This statement here says that you and I are a triune being. We have a spirit, we have a soul, and we have a body. Now you need to picture something or draw it. Now your spirit is what communes with the spirit world. Your soul is what interprets what the spirit world is saying. And your body or your flesh does the works or manifests what it's being told. Does everybody understand that? Let me repeat that again. Your spirit communes with the spirit world. Your soul interprets what the spirit world is saying. And your body will manifest what it's being told. Whether it be good or evil. Is everybody with me? Okay. Hallelujah. Now, we know that if you'll go to Galatians 5:19, and we know about this, Galatians 5:19, is everybody there? Hallelujah. Would you read verse 19 with me on? Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are what? Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness. Now would you be hearing from God to commit these things, or would you be hearing from the kingdom of darkness? Darkness. Idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And that's real simple to understand, isn't it? So if you're communicating, you know, I've always shared with people, who you serve when you die is where you go. If you choose to serve the devil and you die serving the devil, that's where you're going. Not how you begin, it's how you end. Amen. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Wow. So when you're walking in the Spirit, these desires have been crucified. They've been nailed to the cross. You no longer are living for yourself. You're living for God. You're no longer chasing the things of the world for fulfillment. You're chasing the presence of God for fulfillment. You no longer are just throwing out of your mouth what you feel. You're taking self-control and having dominion over your members. Is everybody with me? That's a new creation, isn't it? The Bible says that we are a new creation. That's phenomenal. That's a miracle, isn't it? A new creation. Well, the Bible also tells us that our spirit needs to be what? Born again, and our soul needs to be renewed, doesn't it? Now, I want to share something with you. So in our true state, which you and I were created, the true state that God's purpose of creation was that we would be created in His image and likeness. Is everybody there? Go to Genesis 1. Genesis 1. Genesis 1. In verse 26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over every, over all the earth and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So Adam and Eve were made in the likeness and image of God. They were represented as His character, weren't they? They were the character, the express image of God Himself, His character. Adam was the first son created, wasn't he? Amen? Well, something happened, didn't it? Because you and I were not born in the image and likeness of God. We didn't have His character. We were born in darkness, weren't we? That's why we're born from into darkness, brought to light. Adam was born in light and went to darkness. Do you see the opposite? So you and I were born in darkness and went to light. Amen? You see little children walking around, real fleshed out, little flesh creatures. You know, they don't even understand. They can't understand. My daughter can't understand why she does the things she does sometimes. You know? Because she's fleshed out. Sometimes she can become a little flesh creature. You know? You say, why did you do that? I don't know. I know. Come out. You know? But it doesn't always work that way, does it? Amen? Because she has a fallen nature. So, her spirit needs to be born again, and her soul needs to be renewed. Well, praise God, unfortunately, we got to wait a little bit of time. That's why they're not accountable. That's why there's an age of accountability. She's not accountable for her actions yet. We try to share with her accountability, but you and I can only, as a parent, go so far, can we? Kids are still going to do what they're going to do until they learn, and they must be able to learn. So somebody must teach him, and that's our responsibility, isn't it? But you and I were not born in the likeness and the image of God Almighty. In the representation of His character of a triune God, we were born that way. But Adam and Eve were born in oneness of their spirit, soul, and body, but you and I were born in divided of our spirit, soul, and body. Go to 1 John chapter 5. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 5. In verse 7, now here's God's character in a representation. It says, for there are three that bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And these three are what? They're one. So if Adam and Eve were birthed in the image and likeness of God, their spirit, soul, and body were what? One. Something happened, though, didn't it? When they fell, their spirit, soul, and body were no longer one. They were divided. The Bible says a house divided cannot stand. So Satan's purpose was to divide that house, wasn't it? Okay. Now if you go to verse 8, it says, and there are three that bear witness on earth. Now this was after Jesus came. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. They agree as one. So what's trying to happen is, Jesus was known as the truth, wasn't he? Right? So the truth is trying to bring unity in your spirit, soul, and body so that you agree as one. Is everybody with me? So that you agree as one. That's how you overcome. Because the fight is not outward, it's inward, isn't it? It's inward. So, we want to be... that's why Jesus came to reconcile us and restore us so that we could become one with Him, but so that our spirit, soul, and body could agree as one. It could never be completely one yet. That could never be restored until the day that you and I shed our flesh. It will be restored as one, spirit, soul, and body, as one. But it can never be restored while you and I are breathing on this side until we get a glorified body. So what can happen is it can be brought to a place where your spirit, soul, and body can agree as one. Is everybody with me? Hallelujah. Go to Hebrews 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And verse 12. Would you read it with me, please? For the Word of God is living. Now, who is the Word?
Jesus.
And the Word became flesh, right?
Amen.
It says, the Word of God is living and powerful, and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So it says that it pierces the spirit, soul, and body, doesn't it? It discerns thoughts, right? And the intents of the heart, and the heart is the character of your spirit. So what it does is the Word of God will convict, but what's it convicting for? So that your spirit, soul, and body will agree as one. Hello? So the truth causes our spirit, soul, and body to agree as one. Now, you can reject the truth, can't you? Even though you may know the truth, you can still not use the truth. And that will bring division. So you know why people are all messed up sometimes? Because their house is divided. We have a teaching called House Divide or Divided House. But that's not what we're talking about tonight. I'm trying to impart something of understanding the importance that our spirit, soul, and body are divided. They can never be one, but they can agree as one. And it's done by truth. Right? Hallelujah. Go to 3 John chapter 2. Hallelujah. Would you read verse 2 with me? Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things. Stop. If you're going to prosper in all things, what do you think he means? Everything. Spirit, soul, body, health, finances, wisdom, and knowledge. Right? He says, look at, I pray that you will prosper in all things and be in what? Health. Healthy spirit, healthy soul, healthy body. Just as your what? Soul prospers. Now, that means that your soul must prosper for everything else to prosper. Your spirit has been born again, right? And your soul needs to be renewed. And the word renewed means to remind. It must be constantly reminded. Now, your soul is made up of three parts. Your mind, your emotions, and your will. Is everybody there? Your mind, your emotions, and your will. That's your soul. So your mind must prosper, your emotions must prosper, and your will must prosper for everything else to prosper. So that you can be an agreement in your body and you'll prosper. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Oh, hallelujah. Now you may be going, where is he going? We're getting there. I know I haven't given you the title of this teaching yet, but I will. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Hallelujah. And verse 14. Would you read it with me? But the natural mind does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. Do you understand that? Your carnal mind cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God. It must be reminded of the things of the Spirit of God by the mind of Christ, who is the Holy Spirit. Now, check this out. It says that the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. But you know what he receives? The things of the demonic powers. Isn't that wild? Now, it won't receive the things of the Spirit of God, but it sure will receive the things of Satan's kingdom, doesn't it? I mean, that's where the fight is at, isn't it? I mean, there ain't no problem about receiving the things of Satan's kingdom. The problem is trying to receive the things of the Spirit of God. Because you and I were born in that fallen state. You are not born with the mind of Christ. Hello? We were born as little flesh creatures. But we're being renewed, aren't we? We're being renewed. Now, that really hit me yesterday when I was teaching in the jail about how the natural man doesn't receive the things of the Spirit, but it was like all of a sudden I heard the Holy Spirit say, yeah, it doesn't receive the things of the Spirit, but he sure received the things of Satan's kingdom. No problem. That's why it must be renewed. So that we have something to resist. Now look it. For they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are what? Spiritually discerned. So you must have truth so that you can discern. Is everybody with me? Everybody alright?
Yep.
Hallelujah. So the natural mind cannot receive the things of the Spirit of God, but the things of Satan's kingdom. It must be reminded with truth. And truth brings freedom, doesn't it? That's why the devil's greatest weapon is what? Deception, and his power is fear. So thoughts affect our emotions, don't they?
Yes.
They affect our emotions tremendously. And those things also affect our will. Now I want you to grab something tonight, which is really important. Your will is the door of your spirit. Your will is the door of your spirit. And that's tonight's teaching. Open and close doors. Open and close doors. What you choose to open the door to the things of the kingdom of God or the things of the kingdom of Satan. Your will. See, that's what the devil's trying to do to me and you. He throws these fiery darts, right, which is the voice of the stranger, which can cause an emotion. This emotion can cause us to make a choice. Once we open the door, once we make that choice, that will, the devil loves to contaminate your spirit. What is you, how your spirit is contaminated determines by the character of your heart. So it's our responsibility to shut those doors, isn't it? What is the door? Your will. Hallelujah. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Open and close doors. Oh, hallelujah. When we did a teaching on agreement, which touched and agreed, you know, when you agree with what you're hearing, if it's of the demonic forces, it's going to come to pass, right? What's Satan's purpose? He's trying to get to your spirit, isn't he? That's what he's trying to do. In verse 1, it says, therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all what? Filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So we see here that there's a connection between the spirit and the flesh, isn't there? In other words, your flesh is manifesting what's associated with what spirits. Right? Okay. Oh, hallelujah. So we need to cleanse our flesh and our spirit. Turn to John 10. John chapter 10. Everybody all right?
Amen.
Praise God. John chapter 10. Verse 7. Read it with me, please. Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep." What's he trying to say? I want to be the will. I am the will of my sheep. Has everybody got it? I am the will of my sheep. All who ever came... Now the word "before me" is really not correct scripture. That was added to this. It says, "All who ever came are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them." So we see what you hear affects what you do. "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly." Now listen, here, Jesus said, "I am the door." In other words, he is the will. He is a representation of the will of God, wasn't he? Wasn't he the manifest, the tangible will of God that came into the natural realm? He said, "I am the door." Everybody just thinks that that's just the door to heaven. No, he was a manifested will of God. And he said, "Listen, I came to give you my will." And who was his will? The Holy Spirit is the one that imparts the will of God, doesn't he? Right? He left his spirit with me and you. Now, it says that the thief came to steal, kill, and destroy. The word tells us that the thief or Satan comes to steal the seed. That is a representation of you are the seed of God. It's a representation of your spirit. Has everybody got it? In fact, in Genesis, the word says that his seed and her seed would have enmity between each other. Right? Now, we know that there is also a representation of offspring. Well, now, offspring, spirit, aren't you a spirit? Here he says, and the thief has come to steal the seed. The seed represents your spirit. To steal, to kill. The word "kill" here is a representation of, the Bible says that the letter killeth, but the spirit brings what? Ooh. The letter "kill." Now, the word represents truth, doesn't it? Now, isn't it your soul that needs to be renewed by the truth? So here, the word... where it says he comes to steal, to kill, he's coming to steal your spirit, he's coming to kill your soul. And it says, and to what? Destroy, right? And the word tells us that if you defile your body, God will destroy you, won't he? Do you understand that? So what's the devil trying to do? He's originating, starting in the spirit realm, trying to cause you and me to open the door to him to affect our spirit. Once he affects our spirit, he has access of killing our soul and destroying our flesh. Didn't Jesus share with his disciple that Satan wanted to sift him? Right? I mean, he's not a respecter of person, is he? So every time you make a choice, whatever you do is either going to open the door to the Holy Spirit or to an unclean spirit. It will either contaminate your spirit or strengthen your spirit. Right? Oh, hallelujah. Is everybody all right? So we know that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, aren't they? Do you understand the connection that without knowledge in your soul, you will not be able to discern, and the devil will have access to you through your will to your spirit. Is everybody all right? Proverbs 17. So we need to shut the door, don't we? We need to shut the door. And we need to open the door to Christ in every area of our life. Proverbs 17. Verse 20. Okay. Proverbs 17. Hallelujah. Praise God. Proverbs 17 and verse 20. He who has a deceitful heart finds what? No good. And he who has a perverse tongue falls into evil. He who begets a scoffer does so to his sorrow. And the father of a fool he has no joy. Read verse 22 with me. A merry heart does good like medicine. Now what is your heart? The character of your spirit. What would medicine affect? Your flesh. Is everybody all right?
Amen.
Hello out there. Hallelujah. So a merry heart does good medicine. Does good like medicine. So when your spirit is merry, because it's associating with the Holy Spirit, it has the presence of God, the joy of the Lord, it's affecting your flesh, isn't it? But when your spirit is miserable, you know what happens? You can tell in the flesh, can't you? But a broken spirit, what? Dries the bones. So a merry heart is good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bone. Now, what is the devil trying to do to me and you?
Dry our bones.
He's trying to dry our bones because he knows if he can access our spirit and break our spirit. And there's a difference of humble breaking. Do you understand that? Instead of a broken spirit of rejection and fear and so forth. That's a difference of a broken spirit. There's a difference between a humble spirit and a broke spirit. A broke spirit will definitely affect your flesh. It will bring sicknesses and diseases. It will manifest fruits of ungodliness. Did you ever get around somebody who was miserable? Do you notice how it can affect everyone else? You know why? Because it's a presence. Hello? What's happened is they've opened their door. They've made the choice to accept what's been told to them. And they've opened their door, allowed the unclean spirit to come in and attach themselves to their spirit or contaminate their spirit. And now the manifestation of what they're associating with is manifesting in their flesh. You can see their countenance change. You can see their attitude and motive and desires change. They're miserable. That's why you always need to tell a miserable Christian to go home and get delivered. Go to your room, man, and get freed. Go seek God and get freed. Amen? See, that's where you know what's... You know yourself. And when you don't see it, everybody else does. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. So an unclean spirit would bring unhealthy, but a clean spirit that you're associating with, the Holy Spirit, would bring health, wouldn't it? All right? Go to Genesis chapter 4. Now your will is the what? The door to your spirit. And the character of your spirit is your heart. It's your heart. Genesis chapter 4. In verse 3, would you read it with me? And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. Wow. He made a choice, didn't he? See, his countenance fell means he's already associating with an unclean spirit. So the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door." Sin is the presence, isn't it? Sin is not just an action, it's the presence of the kingdom of darkness. So sin is lying at the door. What's it trying to do? Come in. It's trying to get its way in so that when you make the choice, he's in. Once he's in, he contaminates your spirit and your flesh begins to manifest what your spirit has been contaminated. Hello? Oh, hallelujah. So we need to shut those doors, don't we? Go to Revelation chapter 3. Praise God. Revelation chapter 3. Simple, quick teaching tonight. In Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. You know, all of these teaching, God is really trying to bring us to sermon, isn't he?
Amen.
He's trying to bring us out of the natural arena and into the arena of the spirit realm. Because you and I are spirits. He's trying to clean his church up. Because there'll be a bummer if when he comes. He says, who will you find faithful? Right? In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. The Lord said, behold, I stand at the what?
Door
and knock. Well, guess who else is standing at the door and knocking?
Satan.
Hallelujah. If anyone hears my voice, well, if anyone hears the devil's voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. So if anyone hears the voice of the stranger and lets him in, he's going to come and dine with him also, isn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, he's going to bring you fast food, fruit, you know, drive-through stuff.
Yeah.
Jesus is going to bring a full course meal.
Amen.
Healthy. Mm-hmm. To him who overcomes, now he in conclusion it says, to him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. What throne do you want to sit on? An eternal one or a temporary? As I also overcame and sat with my Father on his throne. Now it says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So it's important what you hear and what you discern and what you choose. We either allow, open that door, or shut that door. And we want to open the door to Jesus. We want to open the door to the Holy Spirit, don't we? Go to Matthew 15. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In verse 17. And let's start at 16. Hallelujah. So Jesus said, are you also still without understanding? In other words, don't you get it yet? You're not fighting flesh and blood. You're not to touch things unclean. You're fighting powers of darkness. Don't you get it yet? Things that trigger you are people, places, and things. Don't you get it? That the devil's trying to separate God's love. Trying to come between you and God. Don't you get it yet? Why are you still trying to work in the natural realm? Why are you still trying to fight in the flesh? Why are you still seeking fulfillment of the natural things when they're only temporary? Don't you get it yet?
Amen.
Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart and they defile a man. Why? Because the heart is the character of his spirit. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unclean hands, unwashed hands, does not defile a man. So what defiles a man are things that we speak, because what we speak represents the character of our spirit. So what you're speaking determines what you're associating with. Do you ever get around someone who's got a perverse mouth? Well, they're not associating with the Holy Spirit, are they? you ever get around someone that talks about nothing but the natural things? Or self all the time? Me, 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 me? They're not associating with the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will cause you and me to deny ourselves. Wait on God and let Him build the house. Do you ever get around someone who can't sit still, is always going, they got to do. They got to do, they got to do, they got to do. They have no sense of rest. You know why? Their spirit's been contaminated. And they're associating with an unclean spirit. Because they're being pushed instead of led. You know, you can sit around some people sometimes. You're on rest next to them. Because there's a spirit of anxiety and stress cruising through them like crazy. And it's like, man, you want to lay hands on them. Sometimes around their throat, but you don't want to get contaminated. Right? Praise God. Then you open yourself up to the spirit, don't you? So don't get sucked in the ring. Praise God. So out of the heart speaks the mouth. Out of the mouth speak. Yeah, something like that. Anyways, your heart is the character of your spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah. Go to Ephesians 4. Hallelujah. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 4. Glory to God. And verse 20. But you have not so learned Christ. Hello? If indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, but be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, in other words, if you'll do this, put away lying. Let each of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one body, one another. Be angry, but don't sin. And don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Nor give what? Place to the devil. In other words, you need to shut that door. That's our responsibility. It says, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who is in need. Let no what? Corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearer. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Now he just said, all of these things is what's going to grieve the Spirit of God. Why? Because you're shutting the door to the Holy Spirit and you're opening the door to an unclean spirit. You don't think that grieves Him? Sure does. By whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all what? Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you. With all malice. So those are all open doors, aren't they? And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14. It says, therefore, he says, Ephesians 5:14. So, you know, in Ephesians 4, he just shared with us a lot of things that will open the door, didn't he? Anger, bitterness, and so forth. In 14, it says, therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. The days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the what? Will of God is. Why? Because that is the door to your soul. I mean, door to your spirit. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, allow the Holy Spirit to have His way. Speaking to one another in psalms, that's a lot better than telling everybody what they think of them. And hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. That's where you and I need to work out our 8 hours. We talked about those. In relationship, in resisting, what do we need to do? We need to recognize, don't we? We need to recognize these things that open the door to our spirit so that we can shut them. Then we need to take our responsibility, repent, renounce, remove, and rejoice. We must recognize these things that will contaminate our spirit. Sometimes these things will install a stronghold in our life, which is a memory lie. You can get these through inherited spirits from generational curses. You know, some things can happen to me and you whether we're willing or unwilling. Now, we know that the will is the door of our soul. But think about a child. Think about a child whose will is controlled by an adult. Right? Here, a child is trusting in an adult. And this adult is misleading them. What's it doing? It's opening the door, isn't it? And not even knowing it. It's opening the door to their spirit, isn't it? Amen? Especially children that have been abused and so forth. Would you turn to Proverbs 13? Proverbs 13. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Is everybody all right?
Amen.
Can I get a hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Okay. Oh, go to Proverbs 12 and verse 25 first. Check this out. I hope you all brought your erasers. Would you read it with me? Proverbs 12, verse 25. Anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. Whoa! But a good work makes it glad. Now go to Proverbs 13. In verse 12. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire comes, it is like it is a tree of life. Now, when children that have been misled, sometimes they lose hope, doesn't it? It brings sickness to them. You know, I heard about a missionary that went to, whether it was Russia or somewhere over there, and the children that were taken, that were put in orphan homes, they had no love. They were just, some of them were just taped in cribs and so forth. They cried and cried and cried. They got to the point where they stopped crying. They had lost hope of comfort. That affected these children tremendously. They're all over. They have no idea what comfort is. Now, of course, as they grew up, it's hard for them to get close to anybody. You know what happened? Their hope was deferred. And it brought sickness to them. They died at a younger age. They opened doors to more sicknesses. Some of us, even in our childhood, that have been lost hope. We became ill. whether in the physical or in the spirit. Lost hope. Some of us that were abused or whatever, there was a hopelessness brought about, and it brought a sickness to us. It was an open door, wasn't it? That a hopelessness opened a door to demonic activity in our life. And it affected us in the natural realm. No hope sickens your spirit, doesn't it? Go to Matthew 18. Matthew 18, verses 6 and 7. That's why when Jesus comes in our life, He gives us hope. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in Me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. It says, woe to the world because of offenses. Offenses. These are called traumas in lives. Offenses. Alright? These children that have been abused, those are offenses, aren't they? It says, woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom the offenses come. So we see that things in our life have caused traumas. And traumas are related to circumstances or incidences that have happened in your life of present, past, inherited, or something that's going to happen. But see, from this time forth, no matter what happens in your life, you know the truth now. You don't have to be offended. You don't have to allow Satan to convince you to open your will to him. You can shoo him out of your house. You can cleanse your spirit and your flesh. Things can change from this time forward. Because truth is what sets us free in every area of our life. Some people have gotten into the area where they've begun to seek things of the world for fulfillment because of traumas in their life, haven't they? In all kinds of areas, whether it's rejection or whatever. In fact, I want to go through a couple of traumas. The first one I want to talk about is when in conception of a mother. You know, in fact, if a child is born out of wedlock, it's known as a bastard curse, and it's in Deuteronomy 23:2. There's a curse to a child that's born out of wedlock. Now, was it that child's will to be born out of wedlock? No. Did that child have a choice? No. But was it still born with a curse? Yes, because God cannot come against His word, can He? So children born in wedlock are known as a bastard curse. Okay? Why don't you turn to Deuteronomy 23 and I can show you. And verse 2. Deuteronomy 23, verse 2. What about children when a mother is conceived, right? When a woman's conceived a child and doesn't want the child. Opens the door to unwantedness, right? Rejection. Amen. What about a mother that has an abortion? You know, they don't tell you the effects to the mother afterwards. But there are effects to every woman that's had an abortion. Deuteronomy 23. And there's effects even to the man that is associated with the woman that has an abortion. In fact, there's a curse to it also. In verse 2 it says, one of illegitimate birth, which means bastard, the true translation, shall not enter the assembly of God, even to the 10th generation. None of his descendants shall enter the assembly of the Lord. That's a curse that needs to be broke, doesn't it? Amen. And how is it broke? Well, once you recognize it, then you repent, don't you? If anyone in this room has ever been associated with someone that's had an abortion and you didn't try to talk to them to get them to prevent them from getting an abortion, the blood is on your hands, even to this day, until you repent for it. Does everybody understand? You know what that's considered? Murder. You'll find that as the Holy Spirit begins to reveal certain things in your life, of things that you said, I've repented for all my sins. Well, God's going to bring certain areas in your life to break the curses off. See, repentance of sin doesn't break the curse. You break the curse by renouncing it and commanding the presence of that spirit to leave. Because where there's sin, there's a curse. Where there's a curse, there's a presence of evil activity, isn't there? And it's our responsibility to break it and remove it. Amen? When our child was born, my wife and I prayed over our child and broke all the curses off. She's still a little flesh creature because she's got a fallen nature until she's born again. Amen? Is everybody all right?
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. The second thing I want to talk about is the first one is in conception. The second one is in the womb. Even right in the womb, as the child is growing in the womb of the mother, where there is rejection. These things all open the doors, don't they? These things will all open the door to a child. Even in the womb, if a mother's considering getting rid of the child or unwanting it or in rejection, what about an addictive mother? Who's an addicted, who's using drugs and alcohol and cigarettes. Does that child have a will to say, hey, Mom, would you please stop doing that? It's killing me or it's affecting me? No, that's opening the door to that child, isn't it? And it's affecting that child. Amen? And the third thing I want to say, even at birth, these things are known as traumas, aren't they? So at birth, what about a child that is born with an umbilical cord around its neck? You think there's a trauma there? What about a doctor that drops a child? You don't think there's a trauma there? Hello? For the doctor too, right? Or even when the child is circumcised, there's a trauma there. And the other thing I want to talk about is in separations. In other words, when a child is born and there's an illness going on and there's separation between the mother and the child, a child that cannot be breastfed, there's a separation there. Or if there's a long-time hospitalization or a separation between a mother and child and adoption, or even a divorce, these things all open the doors of trauma. Open the doors because they're traumas. Like a family that gets divorced, you know how the kids are affected in divorces? Tremendously. Of course, not only just the children, but the husband and the wife that are affected in divorces, right? What about death or institutionalization, prison, separation? Man, I know that when I went to prison, it affected me tremendously to be away from my family, especially not knowing when I'd ever get out. It's a trauma, and it can open the doors big time to demonic spirits like bitterness, hatred. All of these can open up. You know, I remember when I was in the drug world, when I got busted the first time, I wanted vengeance. I said, I'm going to go back out there and do it right and not get caught. You know, I wanted retaliation. What about accidents? That's another one thing I want to mention that opens the door. So we've got conception opens the door in the mother's womb at birth. Separations open the doors, and accidents open the door. What about when you're in an injury or an accident, car accident or whatever, and the trauma, fear, or in a fire? How many people are still afraid of fires because something happened to them at a younger age, or they burned themselves or something? Or drowning of water. These things open a door. And these fears and these anxieties and so forth that are open the doors to you that have contaminated your spirit affect you physically. Physically. Sickness. Mental retardation. All kinds of things. Allergies. All of these things affect us. Somebody's been shot. during a war, military. I mean, how many people have come back from Vietnam with shell shock? You know? Or you can't, they have such paranoia or schizophrenia, you can't get near them. And you can see it in their eyes, such fear, you can see those demons in their eyes, man. Another thing I want to talk about is victimization, abuse, physical, verbal, sexual, emotional. What about when somebody's falsely accused you of something? So we've got conception in the womb, at birth, separations, accidents, victimizations. What about a witness of a trauma? If you've ever witnessed an accident and it really hit you. I remember one time I saw a dog get run over by a tractor trailer. Man, it affected me. I wept for days. You know? I mean, it affected me tremendously. Or a witness of things happening in your home. What about a witness of an accident? Or what about family secrets in your home that you're a witness of? And how the traumas affected you? In other words, it was difficult. You had to live with these secrets all of your life about your family and things that have happened. Those all open doors. Occultism. Association with the demonic forces of occultism. Those all open the doors. You know, some people have a fear of going to doctors. I mean, man, you can't put some people in the dentist chair. I remember when I was a kid, a doctor, I think, was playing with me. He pulled out, do you remember those old little air pumps that pumped up your tire with the needle on it? I was supposed to get a shot. And this doctor, of what I recall, pulled out one of these air pumps and told me he was going to give me a shot. Man, they had to chase me around this office. You know, I was like, whoa-wee. I mean, that affected me. What a trauma. So, you know, as you begin to think about some of these traumas that have affected your life, you know, you need to repent for associating with them, break the power of that spirit off of you, and command it to leave. Because it's opened the door to fear or bitterness. What about somebody who's wronged you? Somebody who owes you money and you haven't forgiven yet. And the devil's still going, oh, that jerk. And you're going, yeah. Well, you disagreed to that spirit and you've opened yourself up to the door. That bonehead has no right to talk to me that way. And all the other stuff, right? You're opening yourself up to demonic activity by agreeing with it. Now listen, the quickest thing to do is repent and get rid of it, right? All of these things and more open the doors to demonic activity. They're either inherited, self-imposed, sometimes temporary also, because we talked about three curses too. Bitterness and fear and hatred, low self-esteem, abuse. They carry on the tradition and the unconscious. Carry on. And we can allow them to pass on to others, can't we? If we don't stop it here. It's time to close the doors. Remember, the devil is trying to get you to do his will so that you can open the door and he can contaminate your spirit. What your character of your spirit is by your heart determines what your flesh is producing. Truth sets us free. Would you turn to Psalm 84 and we'll close here. Psalm 84 and verse 10. 10 through 12. Would you read it with me together? For a day in your courts is better than a thousand. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. Hallelujah. You want your house to be a house of God, right? Amen. You're the doorkeeper. Then dwell in the tents of the wicked. I don't want to dwell in the tents of a wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No thing will be withheld from those who walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man who trusts in you. Praise God. So cleanse your spirit and your flesh. Shut those doors. Get rid of those spirits. Quit agreeing with them. And let the peace and the joy of the Lord lead you and guide you. Trust in the Lord with all of your might. With all of your own understanding. Quit trying to build your own house and let God build it. Keep your house clean and God will build your house. Amen? Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord. We forgive those. We bless those. And we take authority, Lord, in every trauma in our life. And as you begin to remind us of certain things in our life, Lord, even in families of incest and pornography and all of these things that have been brought down the family line, Lord, we just repent for those things. We break the powers of darkness off of our lives. And we command those spirits to leave our spirit. That our spirit will be washed by the blood, cleansed, and that our soul will be renewed and our flesh will become completely healed and free, bearing fruit for your glory. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Amen.